hour. I was worried whether or not we'd be able to do the show. And if you haven't heard, we are expecting a rather significant, for these parts, storm of some sort in the next 24 to 48 to 64 hours, probably sometime mid-Monday is what they're saying, when I'm going to be way out west at a Hardee's location out in Farragut. It'll no doubt snow 4 or 5 inches, stranding me out on the west side of town. So if you're listening and you live out in the Farragut area and you want to have Basilio in your house, maybe we can make it happen.
Hey, call the board, and maybe you can go out and hang out at Teleco, because the bad weather doesn't bother the Michiganders.
Adam Keck said the only way to get over this loss today, Basilio, is to turn that NBA fashion show on. I think I would rather hang out with Arian Foster than watch that NBA fashion show. Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Well, fellows, it wasn't much good to look today, was there?
Boy, that thing was over early, man.
Hey, Keith, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. How you doing today, JB?
Well, oh, by the way, Mike Edwards was my favorite vanilla shooter. The Greenfield gunner, the cat. When he played when the freshman couldn't play, he averaged 30 points in the freshman team. And then in 3 years, he averaged about 19 points a game before the three-point line. He averaged about 22 points a game. A really good shooter. So there are some white boys who can shoot.
Absolutely.
Not many, but some. Well, guys, the roller coaster hit the ground tonight. I mean, that was the first half. The first 10 minutes of the first half looked like an execution.
Mm.
What are you going to do? What can we do? I mean, if they're motivated to play, and they were, and they execute, which they did, and they take advantage of our weaknesses. Well, anyway, when those three started falling, I knew, ooh, this is bad. This is going to be some bad karma here, baby. But the kids didn't quit. They fought back. What could have been an all-time classic blowout turned into, at least there was some degree, trying to regain some respectability in the second half. But it was a game that really we were physically, that mismatch was so great, and they applied them. And on that, when Martin didn't have a great game, but I'll tell you, Quarterman and Hornsby and Patterson just blew his head. Yeah, let Gray shoot, but those the other boys could hit it. By the way, that Hornsby kid is the son of Bruce Hornsby, right?
Yes.
Well, I guess that's just the way it is here, baby. You're with here. Just the way it goes when you have to play a better team. Huh? Golly. Our hopes and dreams just kind of came crashing down. Keith, let's talk about the future. Because let's get off today, because it was... When we have limited talent, sometimes the bear eats you. Let's talk about some kids coming in next year and in 16. Will you just briefly analyze some talents going to be coming in so we got something to look forward to?
Well, I think Shambari Phillips is having a fantastic senior year. I don't think there's any doubt that he will probably end up more highly rated if you look at such things by the time the season's over. Shambari Phillips is going to certainly go up. I think Admiral Schofield will probably finish about where he's been ranked all along. I think he's a guy that you bring in. He's a rotation guy. I don't think he's not somebody you're bringing in to, oh, let's throw him the ball and see if he can go get us 10 or 15 tonight as a freshman. I certainly don't think that's the kind of player he's going to be. But obviously, as we've talked, they're looking all over the junior colleges to try to find some folks. 16's the big year, though, because you're looking at Abdul Abdo and Braxton Blackwell. You've already got Romello White on board for 16. If you split the two in-state kids and get either Addo or Blackwell, that's a fantastic class with Romello White and just average players to fill it out. If you get both those guys and Romello White, that's the kind of class that LSU is bringing in next year.
Well, they're bringing in Ben Simmons and Antonio and Blakeney and Victor's transfer from Arizona's going to be a great team there. But the question we have to ask is, who on this squad, who's going to be able to step up and replace Josh? And I don't think you can replace him. What skill levels, what groups can you look at? There's any possibility of trying to replace what he gives us?
Well, I think it's got to be Hubs and Mostella.
I agree.
If you're looking at, and Puncher can probably do a little more, but I don't know that he can add significantly more to what he's done on average across the way. And honestly, I mean, I've only seen this guy play a couple of times in high school and not against great competition. That's hard to get. But I'm not sure that adding Braxton Bonds just to be out there as a ball handler and kind of free up those other guys to play off the ball isn't going to help immensely next year.
I agree exactly. I think you're right. So Hubs has already made a big improvement. Now, Mostello's a guy who potentially gets more disciplined, can be easier, better with the ball. He's got the capacity to finish and make some very athletic plays around the basket if he can become a better basketball player. No doubt about
it. I think what you've got with him, JB, is you've got a guy who's just been so much more athletic and physically gifted than the people he's played against. Now he's learning that, well, these other guys can play too.
Like a junior.
He tries to do some things. Yeah, I mean, he tries to go by guys and stuff, and it just doesn't work sometimes.
So there is hope. There is hope. There is no hope for beating Kentucky. Although, you know, but if we do, if we get the thing that DeBino described and we get to 17 wins, and get a win in the tournament, get to 18 wins, do you still think that this guy deserves consideration for Coach of the Year?
Absolutely.
Do you agree, Keith?
I think he certainly is in the discussion. As I said, I know people can't stand the guy, but I said the same thing last year when Billy Donovan did it. Look, if somebody goes undefeated in a league, I think it's almost absurd to vote anybody else the Coach of the Year. And I don't care if he's got the Bulls roster. I mean, you go undefeated in your league, I've got a tough time saying that anybody else is the Coach of the Year. But no, I don't think there's any doubt that Donnie Tindall has done as good a job, especially if they finish 9-9 in the league after being picked. Well, look at it this way. They're projected to finish 13th, which means that most people thought they would win five games tops. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good jump.
Don't forget, guys, there will be a Teleco Village Valvoline driving class in the snow tomorrow, Tony.
What did you think of him yesterday? I was impressed with him.
What did I think about Coach DeBoard?
I was impressed with him.
I thought it was all baloney, dog and pony show, good cop, bad cop. Butch is way too buttoned up to let that colloquy go on and not understand that we would pick up on it. And good guys like Beano, oh, look, he's laying out a demand. There's no way in hell they didn't set that up beforehand. No way. That was to reassure us. So now when Uncle Charlie makes changes, he can say, Uncle Charlie, that's not that fans. They don't know what they're talking about. They're too dumb to understand the spread. He's way too buttoned up and way too controlling to let that happen accidentally.
No, I think you're wrong. I think Butch Jones is that weird, to be honest with you. And I don't mean that. I don't mean that the way it sounds.
You think that was an absolutely honest? Absolutely.
I think that guy knows that Butch Jones is weird. I think he's weird. I think the guy knows he's weird, and I think he just said, "Look, we're not going to do this semantic thing. You run a spread offense. We're going to call it a spread offense." And he was like a guy saying, I'm going to act like the adult in the room. That's what I think happened yesterday. I really do.
It was a put-up job, dog and pony show. Fellas, thank you.
Thank you. I disagree with you.
I think the one thing that you learned yesterday, though, Tony,
yes,
is that we don't have the most brutal media in the world. Because when DeBoard started talking about how this past year at Michigan, he was looking at all this stuff and commenting on this and advising that, how come nobody raised their hand and said, didn't Michigan suck wind all year this year?
By the way, somebody just tipped me off and I just turned it on. This NBA fashion show, this might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen on television. I don't know if I can begin to tell you how stupid this looks.
You know my theory, Tony. Love what goes on between the lines in the NBA. Hate everything else.
I love this.
That goes on off the
floor. I might be the opposite. I might not be real impressed with what goes on between the lines and love everything else, because this might be the most classic thing. Elena Deladon is sitting up there. She's a doll, baby. Good gosh. Look how pretty she is. This is the most... I'm telling you right now, this could be one of the more illiterate things I've ever seen in my life. This is wrestling.
Oh, no, it's dumber than wrestling.
NBA, no. All-style, it's TNA wrestling.
Now, this is whatever they're calling that stuff they're showing on Fox 43 at noon on Saturday.
I like that stuff. Let's go back to the phones. What are they calling that?
Isn't that South? Haven't they stolen the Southeastern name? I'm waiting for Robert Fuller to sue the living hell out of them. I think they're using Southeastern Championship Wrestling, which I'm pretty sure is still Robert Fuller's property.
TC down in Athens has had like five tweets about the Carnes High School team from back in the mid-'80s, which tells me the kind of day it was on the hardwood. I'm seriously considering watching this, the rest of this NBA, just to stay away from college basketball the rest of the day, this NBA fashion show. And that's the kind of day it was. You talk about a depressing day on the hardwood. Good.
Steve Chansey, that was one of the other guys on that team.
Steve Chansey.
I remember four of the five Carnes starters. I'm short one, but Brooks, Henry, Roth, and Steve Chansey, I remember.
Lambert just told me that Klay Thompson a second ago looked very fly during the
Who is commentating this debacle you're describing? Is my question.
Their judges are Barkley. It looks like Barkley, Steve Blake, Elena Deladon, Kenny Smith.
The only way I will respect this, Tony, is if Hubie Brown is one of the judges.
I'm telling you, you have got to turn that on. That looks like that might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
If you put Hubie Brown out there or Jeff Van Gundy, I'll get down with that.
Let's get our next call in.
Scott Skiles. Where is Scott Skiles when you need him?
Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony?
Yes.
Hey, our basketball coach, I agree with you. I think, you know, he's the real deal. But I want to ask you one question. You care, and I don't want to make you mad.
I'll go right ahead.
All right. You talk about certain people having it in for Donnie on other stations, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I want you to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself why I've got it in for Butch Jones so bad.
You want me to ask myself why I've got it in for Butch Jones?
I mean, I don't care what you say, and you cover.
Well, no, obviously you've got. Hey, listen, you've got your mind made up about me. You don't care what I say, so go ahead. Tell me why I have it in for Butch Jones. Tell me that.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. I mean, you really do.
Are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? Are you kidding me? God, listen to the hate in your voice.
You're a good man, and I like to listen to you, but for some reason you don't like him, and I don't know what it is.
I called him out for the way he talked to the kids. That was borne out to be true.
I don't care what comment is made. You still just, you don't like the man, and that's your business, but I just wonder what it is, the reason.
I don't have anything against the guy. What do you mean I don't like the man?
Tony.
Well, I mean, if you can give me a good example of how I don't like him.
If you just listen to yourself, you'll cover it up and say this, that, and the other. But some, you can tell, I'm an old man, and I've been listening to people all my life, and I know there's certain people I don't like, and usually there's some reason that you don't. I just wonder if he did something to you or what. I didn't know.
I don't understand what you when you say. Let's go back. I'm the one media person in town the last couple of years who said I will put no win loss expectation on him at all because I don't want to build it up. Hang on, and then I went on to say that this next upcoming season I still don't have any win loss expectation on him, and I'm not wanting championships, and I think all this championship talk's crazy. I'm superbly impressed with his recruiting. I don't think he's a real good in-game coach. I just went back from watching him at his days at Cincinnati.
I'm not disagreeing with you on anything you said there, but I can tell that.
I don't think that's fair to me.
I don't think, sir,
with all due respect to you, I don't think you're being fair to me.
Well, there's different people listening to the show, and there's several of them.
But I don't give a damn what several. Hey, listen, sir, listen to me right now and hear me loud and clear. Okay. I don't care if 10 people get around in a room and they come to a conclusion about me, it's what you're saying is not true. It is okay. not true. Listen,
okay.
If it were true, listen to me. If it were true, I would say to you, sir, it is true.
Okay.
Do you believe I would tell you the truth? If I didn't like him, would I tell you?
Yeah, you probably would.
Okay.
That's what I was asking. In my opinion, I didn't think you liked him for some reason. I just wondered.
It's fine. Listen.
And I don't know where he's
listen,
good coach. Don't
you're entitled. I understand that. We're going to see if he can make it, if he can do it. Listen, for my business, I'll tell you this right now. Losing does not help anything. It doesn't.
Oh, I'm not saying that you want Tennessee to lose, Tony. No.
Understand this. I want this guy to win. I want him to make it. What I was talking about earlier in the show, you tell me you did what I did. He got up there yesterday, and he goes off on some 10-minute tangent because he's a weird guy. He's weird. The guy is weird. He went on, and you can say that saying...
I listened to his thing.
It was weird. That was a weird place to do that. And then today he said he made a word up. He just kind of goes out of his way to say these odd things. And he just, because he can't just use words that we all use. He's got to make.
I understand where you're coming from.
Okay, and I'm not, but I don't hate, listen to me. Here's what I like about him. I think he's good to people behind the scenes. I've said this on my show. He's good to people behind the scenes. He's not like Derek Dooley was, who was a very evil, bad person. And I said that about Dooley. And I wanted Dooley gone his second year there when I knew what I knew about him. With Butch Jones, when those kids left and we had that other kid leave from the mid-state, looks like he's gone to Penn State, and I said, hey, this guy's got to watch himself. And it was borne out to be the case. Now, if I hated Butch Jones, and I want you to hear me loud and clear.
No.
If I didn't like him or had an agenda against him, I would take this off-field stuff and drive it at him, and I haven't done any of that. I haven't said a word on my show. I haven't said a word on my blog about it because I don't have an anti-Butch Jones agenda. But okay. Listen to me. People hear what they want to hear. And see, it's really easy to get the one guy in town who's not afraid to tell the truth, which I'm not. I just said so to the women. I don't want to hear a woman broadcaster do a game. I don't want to hear that. Now, some people will say that's ignorant. You can't say that. I don't want to hear a woman play-by-play during a men's game. That's
well,
just
I agree with you.
Okay.
With you.
And you know what they'll say to us? They'll call us chauvinists, and they'll get around in a room and go, "Those two guys don't like women." Let me tell you, I don't have anything against Butch Jones. I think he's a family guy. I think he creates a family atmosphere. I don't like the way that he gets personal with guys, and I think he's going to work on that. He's told some people over there he's going to work on that. I think he's going to try and change. But I'm cheering for the guy. I'm not cheering for him to fail.
I'm cheering for him too. And I don't know I don't know what kind of coach he is.
I understand that.
I think he's a hard worker.
Absolutely. He's a damn hard worker. Hey, let me tell you, both of these guys we have here right now are going to be able to recruit players and are going to be able to win because they're going to be able to create enough atmosphere.
Tindall,
go ahead.
If Tindall can get through this thing and I don't know about his recruitment. If they can recruit, he can coach. I'll tell you that. He can coach.
There's no question. I think, listen, and here's how open-minded I am on Tindall. I started out on that DeBoard thing going, I can't believe they're going to hire this guy.
Yeah.
And then when I heard him at that, now you heard a caller just a second ago tell me that was a dog and pony show that we saw. And
well,
I said,
I didn't hear it.
Okay, well, we had a caller call in who was making fun of that press conference yesterday and said that they set that up for Butch Jones to come out and say. He said that Butch Jones came out and Butch Jones told that guy, now look, I'm going to say we don't run a spread offense and you're going to turn around and you're going to say we run a spread and you're going to make it look like you're in charge. I don't think that happened. I think the guy knows that Butch Jones likes to talk. Which Butch Jones does like to talk. He does. And
well, I'll be frank with you. I was wanting to get a younger coach.
There you
okay?
go. Sure.
I'm not the guy. He may be. I can understand why he hardy.
Right on. You and I are on the same page. I think what the guy's going to do, and he showed it yesterday in that press conference, is he's going to look at Butch Jones and go, hey, Butch, calm down. You need to calm, and I think that's a good thing.
When he first came there, I thought he was going to be good. But this year, I didn't think he did his best job of calling plays this year. I'll be very frank with you.
Well, here's where I'm at on.
I'm doubting the man now.
No, here's where I'm at on Bajakian and the offensive line coach. I think when you're that shorthanded offensively, just like Donnie Tindall today, when you're that shorthanded, and see, if I were a hater, I wouldn't be saying that to you. And that's my point. But people hear what they want to hear, and they get things. What I'm telling you, sir, is, and listen, if you ever want to call me and call me out on something, by all means, I'm not going to berate you. I'm not going to jump on you because I like that you're listening to me. We could have a conversation, but I want you to go back and tell those folks, hey, I talked to Tony, and listen, I will never do what Doc did yesterday and berate, and then it comes time, to interview a guy, and I disappear off my show for 20 minutes. I ain't gonna do that to Butch Jones. Now listen, Butch Jones won't come on my show, but it's Tennessee's decision. They don't share him with anybody that's not a rights holder. Butch don't want to do local radio, but I don't care about that because the truth is, none of those guys, when Philip Fulmer was doing all the local radio, I don't like dealing with, the head coach is not going to say anything in this day and age. He's just not. He can't. He's not allowed to say anything. You listen to those guys talk, they talk, all of them are the same now. They talk for 15 minutes and they say nothing to you.
Oh, I didn't know he wouldn't come on your show.
No, he won't come on any show. He won't come on Russell's show. He won't come on, he'll do Jason Swain's show every once in a while. Because Jason's a former player, and I mean every once in a while, once a blue moon. But I don't hate the guy. I'm cheering for the guy.
You know, I wasn't trying to get you mad, but in my opinion, see, just listen to you. I just thought that there's something happened between you. Really, I didn't.
No, I'm cheering for the guy.
Okay. All right.
All right, my friend?
Yeah, okay.
Good talking to you. Hatfield, set it up for me. Tuesday night, Hatfield, talk to me here, brother. We're going to need, I want the storm of the century. We need a combination of the Ella Dorsey / the Tennessee Department of Transportation. What else? What else do we need to line up for us?
I mean, on the floor, I mean, you just need Kentucky to come out and play as they did earlier this year against Buffalo. I think, was it Columbia? I know somebody from the Ivy that played them close for about 30 minutes. I mean, you just need them to come out and be pretty much unfocused and awful for 40 minutes. That's just and Tennessee has to be good. That's just the eventuality of it. In 5 years of the guys in Kentucky's roster right now, there'll be at least 8 guys in the NBA. Minimum. And that's the truth of it. We've got one guy.
Maybe.
That might be playing in the NBA.
Yeah, in 5 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where
he might have to go a circuitous route. Josh Richardson might have to go.
Well, he may do the C.J. Watson. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah. C.J. had to go. His route was Europe, yeah. Which is what Jordy Mack's going to do. Jordy Mack's going to have to go Turkey, and then he's got to get stronger.
Well, I think he's leading the Australian league in scoring right now.
Aussie league.
I think Philadelphia likes him better than a lot of the stiffs they've got in their roster right now. They just know that he gets to play in Australia and they don't have to worry about trying to figure out if he's and find minutes for him instead of the stiffs they're playing right now.
Well, what the Sixers are really trying to do, and they've screwed it up because this Brown guy can coach, is they're trying to lose as much as possible.
Right. I was about to say, yeah, Jordy Mack might win him a few more games than the guys they're playing.
Yeah. By the way, the one thing at the NBA All-Star Game, oh, God, Spike Lee has his Mars Blackman.
Hey, Tony, as I was looking at that,
nameplate.
I just flipped over there for just a second.
How needy is he?
I just flipped over there for a second. Are Chandler Parsons and J.R. Smith doing a buddy cop movie or something?
Dude, I'm telling you, that, you can rip it all you want.
I've been wanting to know who the blonde hosting it was. There's nothing about that I want to know.
I love it. They got a guy rapping. They've got a guy rapping while they're on the catwalk.
Well, that's my point, Tony. That's a very hard and fast rule I have in life. If Flo Rida is involved, it's flaming crap.
Rapping!
As soon as I see Flo Rida,
I know the plug needs to be pulled on something.
I'm being told now that I've got to get off his lawn. The Vol Colonel says, Basilio, you know you hate Butch. Vol Colonel's trying to stir me all up. Benny Thomas says, that day you and Sinclair... Hey, Benny, shut up. How about this for you, Benny? Shut the hell up. Get some of that, big boy. I don't care if you turn my show off. Turn it off. Turn the show off. It's the best thing going. We'll go back to our phones. One final call. Hello and welcome.
Hello, Tony B and Keith.
Hey, brother.
This is Al.
Hey, Al.
Ask you a basketball question right quick, looking back at the blue-orange rivalry, and then ask you about your book corner reviews.
You're a Kentucky fan, yes?
That's right, sir. All right, way back.
Yeah.
I'll tell you some Adolph Rupp story way back sometime if you want.
I'd love to hear an Adolph Rupp story.
In fact, my father, years ago, snuck in the old arena up there to watch practice when he was a student. And he got discovered and got tossed out of one of Adolph's practices.
That's good stuff right there. I bet Adolph wouldn't play around with somebody that wasn't welcome at their practice.
No, he did that. That is a true story. I want to ask you right quick before we get to the books there. How far back did the Orange blow the Cats out? Was it 3 years ago here?
Yes, it was. It was out of nowhere, too.
It was here Kentucky made the NIT. It was the year that Noel got hurt.
Yeah. It was the year Noel got hurt, so it would have been the year they lost to Robert Morris. It would have been...
A 30-point game.
Yeah, it would have been Conzo Martin's second season.
Yeah, 2 seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
30 points, was it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I want to ask you real quick about the inside, what you think of that book, and also have you read League of Denial, and have you reviewed that about the NFL?
League of Denial?
Yes, sir.
I have seen the book. I'm working on a book right now called Concussion Inc., which is about the problem of brain injuries and pro sports and college sports. So, you know, whatever.
The new book, I guess, Concussion Inc.
Yes, Concussion Inc.
Okay, and you recommend the Strong Inside, you just finished
it. It's literally one of the greatest basketball books, life books. It's so well done.
Okay, I'm going to grab that. But if you would check League of Denial sometime and let me know what you think. I thought it was very interesting on the NFL then.
Yeah, I think, Al, that the game itself is going to, what they've done so far is that they have not even scratched the surface. Football is in trouble at all levels. I mean, whether they know it or not, it just is. I mean, it just is. The guys are too big, too fast. They haven't addressed it. People say, well, they've changed the NFL and the way the NFL, well, that might all be so, but the guys are too big and too fast.
I agree with you. This book, is that the title, Concussion?
Concussion Inc. Yeah, it's interesting. It's from a guy that I'm going to interview him this week. Irv Muchnick is his name. And
how you spell that last?
Muchnick, I want to say. It's like the old wrestling promoter in St. Louis.
You going to tell us what day that is later on in the week?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I will.
Check that out.
All right, now.
I agree with you. I think college and NFL, they're headed somewhere.
They got to. I mean, they got to change. I don't know what you do. I don't know if you take helmets off people, if you have weight restrictions. You've got to figure out a way, though, to get these guys to the point where they're not hurting each other and hurting themselves. What's the point? You know?
Yeah, I agree with you. A story here, you remember the Pittsburgh center in the 50s.
Sure.
And he's referenced in this book.
Webster. Mike Webster, end up sleeping in his car.
Doctor asked him, have you been in many car wrecks? And he said, yeah, about 1,000 a year.
Yep. And the guys were smaller back then. I mean, think about it now.
Well, let us know what you think about that book when you get to it. Enjoy your post-game. It's very entertaining. Good talk.
All right, brother. Take care.
Good night.
All right, man. You have a good one.
Hey, Keith, Tony, that brings something to mind.
Yeah.
Talking about his father sneaking into one of Rupp's practice. You know who wasn't welcome at Rupp's practices?
Who's that?
Black people.
Oh, Hatfield. Didn't Adolph Rupp, though, he softened at the end of his career, didn't he?
So did George Wallace. The old stately reformed bigot usually doesn't work real well as a storyline for me.
The one thing about those times, I don't excuse what anybody did, but those times were so... What's interesting when you read a book like that about what went on in the 60s and early 70s is that those times seem so far away, but they really weren't. That's what's interesting to me about all that. But I want to thank my friends at Smartway and Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics for providing today's program. It's been a most interesting 95 minutes that we've spent together. Hatfield, thank you, my friend. Great talking to you.
No problem, Tony. Pleasure as always.
And we'll do this one more time when we get back. We'll do this one more time, my good friends. And when we do, hopefully we'll get past what went on today, because that was a beating of all time. And thank goodness Mickey takes his act elsewhere. That was tough to comprehend. I want to thank Keith Hatfield for joining me. I want to thank all the great callers we had today. I want to say to the living Vol, keep your head up. We will get back. I want to say the storm, please miss us. I don't do the cold real well. Thank you very little. I want to thank everybody for taking part in today's program. Appreciate you spreading the word for us, letting folks know that we're out here doing what we do each and every day to serve you, my good friends. Take you home with a little Donald Fagen here today on the way out. Hope you have yourself a great Saturday night.
Still I remain. Thank you. Home at last. Copyright about 1977. D. Fagan, Walter Becker. Thank you very much. Sheesh. All right. What a night. I'm so excited, I just can't hide it. All right. Here's someone who is very very seldom in New York City. Let's give a big hand for Boz Scaggs. We're going to bring down Jeff Young from our band, and Phil Hamilton.
How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
What's up?
Haven't seen you for a while, man.
Yeah, you know how it is.
No, ever since you had that new little girl of yours, man, you haven't been coming around the neighborhood much, man.
Well, it's like...
She's soon me and take. Every day.
Now you say she soothes you and takes care of you every day.
Come on, like she
soothes me.
Says she soothes.
Please welcome Mr. Charles Brown.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to be on such a great show, don't you think so? This is a great show. And I all owe this to bringing me back to the scene of my musical director, Danny Caron, on the guitar. Let's give him a nice hand. Knocking on my door.